Hello, my name is Mike Goldman, and welcome to On The Mic, today's special guest. I'll tell you three facts about him. He used to be a male stripper. He was also a radio announcer, and he was on Anger Management with Charlie Sheen. Ladies and gentlemen, actor, comedian, Ash Williams. G'day, mate.
G'day, Mikey. Was I a male stripper?
Well, you sort of, half.
I'm happy to be a full stripper.
But maybe you should tell us a story.
Well, the thing is, mate, I mean, I started out in the show business industry as a G-string waiter in Perth. That's how I got into the biz.
Okay. So you weren't exactly an erotic dancer.
No.
Just a waiter, just a half-naked thing.
No, but here's the thing, mate. I went for a promo job, right? It was paid $20 an hour to hand out flyers. And then this guy tapped me on the shoulder and said, listen, mate, my name's Dave. Do you want to be a G-string waiter? It's $50 an hour. And I said, fucking oath. That's great.
Why not? Good money.
Yeah. So we did that. And then after a month, I got asked to be a male stripper.
Yeah.
And they're like, and that's going to be $350 or $400 for a song of dancing, you know? So, and also you get asked often with the G-string waitering, just ad hoc, do you want to do a, because, you know, all the girls.
You want to do a strip?
Yeah, they get their money together. We've raised, you know, $272.
Completely nude.
But it's art. It's artistic, you know? You just want to show up for a sec. But even then, I just thought, no, it's a slippery slope. But my other mate did all the stripping, and he walked away with a shitload of money. And then I just stuck to, my meat and two veg kind of G-string waitering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maintain my dignity and just go home and sleep well.
That's good because, I mean, you wouldn't want to get naked and then you wouldn't be able to sleep. You'd feel horrible.
I never get naked.
Especially if you took one of the girls home with you.
Well, that's one of the things, Mike. You're not allowed to kiss any of the girls. So the boss of the G-string waitering company was a psychopath.
Yeah, really?
I'll call him Mark, right?
Okay.
And he said he's like an army dude, smokes a lot of weed. Drives way over the speed limit. Like, he's got one of those radars in his car so he can go like 160 relaxing at 160, and then his car will go beep beep beep, and then he'll go cops, and then he'll go back down to 99, right? And this guy said, if I see you kissing any of the girls at the hens parties, I'll personally kill you.
What? Right? It's like they're all his sisters or something. Why can't you get that would be like a good rating, wouldn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
If someone passed off one of the strippers.
Yeah, but I just didn't.
It's G-string going the extra
waiter.
Mile.
G-string waiter.
G-string waiter.
But then I didn't want to muck around. I was only like 22. I said, no, fair enough, Mark.
Okay.
And then one time, one of the hens who was getting married like the following week, kind of cornered me in a bathroom and said, kiss me.
Oh.
And
she's about to get married.
I said, you're about to get married. You've got a fiancé. She said, I don't care. I don't even like him.
What?
And then I just kept thinking about Mark's, going, I'll kill you.
You'll die.
And then, luckily the door was locked. I didn't kiss her. She kissed me.
Oh, okay. That's all
right.
For,
10 seconds. And then, that was the closest I've ever come to Mark killing me.
So now you've got two people that will want to kill you. The lady that she's marrying's husband.
Yeah.
And now also that Mark guy.
Yeah.
And you've just said it on the show.
Mark's not his name, though.
He's going to be hunting you. But there can't be too many places that you were waitering for.
He's probably dead now. No, seriously, he's he was really burning the candle at both ends, just with all his weed smoking and his fast driving and his stripper business.
And so you got a bachelor in marketing or something like that. You studied at uni, and that sort of took the stripping thing to the next level when you needed it in LA.
Yeah, for sure. So, I spent all of my money. I went to LA. I had a bit of cash saved up. And then I literally had, $200, and I thought, I need to get a job. So I door-knocked the gay bar, there's tons, but the best one for money that I saw at the time was 11 Nightclub on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
Door-knocked there. Became...
like I know it. Oh, yeah.
Did you not? You do not?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's really popular.
Yeah. Your straight people can go there, too.
Because my... Of course, there are tons of straight guys in there.
Funny.
Yeah, and I didn't tell anyone that I was working in there either. So I'd see all these guys from Australia who, I was pretending that I was killing it in LA, and then I see them at the bar, and I'm the G-string waiter guy. And I wasn't a G-string waiter there. I was a fluorescent vodka shot waiter.
Yeah. I've actually been there. I got a friend called Trent Holmes, and he lives and works in LA, and he's go there all the time. Well, you go there because it's the only place pumping on a Monday or a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of straight guys who'd be up on the tables in their G-strings, dancing around, and these other gay dudes is going sticking money in their G-strings.
Yeah.
Is that, did you get up and do that?
Well, that's what I auditioned for initially. Yeah. So
you didn't pass the audition for that?
No, I did pass the audition.
Oh, okay.
So like that's what I went in there for. Like, you know, that was my...
So Shots Guy is a promotion from
that? No. Oh. It's actually probably a demotion, but it's a classier demotion because I went in there and I said, listen, I want to be one of the undie dancers in the window.
Yeah.
You know, the undie dancers with the money.
That's
and they
awesome.
Said, yeah, man. Like,
that's where the cash is at.
They said, yeah. I said, their undies are full, man. You know, full of cash. I said, and they said, cool, man, you're actually really lucky because the casting directors are out the back and they can take you for an audition.
Oh,
this
nice.
Is 2 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah.
I thought, what are the chances?
Mm-hmm.
So I went out the back and they said, dance for us. Two guys. Yeah. And I just did like a basic dance. And I said, obviously, I'll do more on the night.
Yeah. And you didn't want to give them too much.
Exactly.
They just wanted to tease them a little bit.
Exactly.
So leave them wanting more.
Exactly.
The old showbiz saying.
Showbiz.
Yep.
So then they said, look, we need to see more. Can you take your top off and your pants off? Right? And I said, yeah, sure. I'm going to leave my G-string on, yeah? And they're like, yeah, keep it on. And then, so I was pretty much just standing there in front of them, and they said, that's fantastic, Ash. You've got the job. You start tonight. And I thought, this is no word of a lie. I said, listen, before I start, can I just come down and watch just to see how it works? And if I like it, then I'll do it. And I went down there, and as you said, those guys in the G-strings just get molested.
Yeah, grabbed and groped and
trotted. It's crazy. So, like, the guy made $500, but, like, 500 guys touched his dick.
Yeah.
You can do the math.
I saw that, yeah. It's not exactly worth it. It's like $1 a touch of the dick.
It's literally $1 a touch, which is not... You want at least $1.50.
And what about when you were selling the shots? Because your marketing business sense came into play when you were selling the dollar shots.
Yeah.
And you went a little bit further with that.
Yeah. So that kind of was an organic transition because I was doing the shots and then someone said, yo, Ash, how much for a nipple suck? And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, yo, you know, I want to put some whipped cream on your nipple and suck it off after my shot. And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. He goes, how much? And I go, $10, right?
Mm.
And I sold like 10. And then I thought, I'm underpricing.
Too expensive?
I said, no, too cheap.
Too cheap.
I said, 20.
20.
The next night I went back and said, it's 20.
Yeah.
Sold them all again. But then I went to 30 and didn't sell as much. So I found my hot point was 20.
Did you think maybe you should stretch it to other areas, like $1,000 for a tongue in the ear or a grab of the ass for $2,000?
Well, they do that anyway.
Oh, okay.
And that's like an arbitrary cost. So like one time a guy who works at Disney, who gave me his business card so many times.
But you know to get the job at Disney. This is before all the Weinstein shit hit the fan. You know, you'd have to go a bit further.
Of course.
Yeah.
This is before, you know, Me Too. I could have got this guy for Me Too. Because he was like, he put his fingers down the back of my pants and got right to the, what do you call it? The date.
Perineum?
Yeah, the perineum.
Oh, the perineum's past the date, isn't it?
So he was like half a fingernail in. Like really, this guy was stealth. Straight
Ooh.
In. And it was like one of those wonderful celebratory weekends, like the biggest weekend of the year at
mm-hmm.
the gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
did
so
you flinch?
No. But I got him. I grabbed him by the wrist because he's one of my best customers. I didn't want to offend him.
Yeah.
And I just said, look, whatever his name was, fucking Dave. I said, like, grabbed him by the wrist. Grabbed him. I said, you got your credit card on you?
That's going to cost you.
And he goes, yep. And I said, okay, you know that's going to cost you. And he goes, I said, you're a very naughty boy. And he goes, I don't know.
What did you charge him?
Well, I didn't say anything. Guess how much he paid me for that? I said, you can put in what you think. You can put in what you think.
Put in what you think you should pay.
Yep.
Okay.
What do you think he paid?
Oh, I reckon he... $1,000.
300.
Oh, what?
No, it's still good.
You got ripped off.
No, it's good.
$300 for half a fingernail up your ass.
Look, to be fair...
So if I wanted to right now, would you let me stick half a fingernail? You're probably not that desperate. And I wouldn't do it.
Not at the moment. If I was in that...
I don't really like hypotheticals. I probably shouldn't go there.
Look, mate, if you had the $300 on the table, then...
And you're in LA.
And
you're desperate. You need the cash.
Yeah.
Like, I lived in LA for a couple of years and didn't really get a lot of work at all and blew all my cash.
Yep.
And, you know, I thought about maybe, you know, toning up and doing the stripper thing. I was chatting to Luke Milton at Training Mate, which is this gym in LA where I think it's where I first met you.
Yes, yes.
You were a trainer there for a while
which is
probably a better deal for you than the strip club.
Well, I actually parlayed straight from the strip club to the personal training.
Oh, yeah, like in the morning at 6 a.m. when the club shuts.
No, because Luke's a mate of mine, and like so Luke started this gym called Training Mate, and said, "Listen, I want to get trainers in there, but I want trainers who aren't your atypical trainers. I want just like, you know, guys with vibe."
It's so good there. I've never been to a gym like it before in my life. It's they're screaming and yelling and cracking jokes, and Luke's go, "Oh, Mikey, look at those shorts you've got on today. Oh, you've had a haircut. You're looking fitter than ever." And everyone's laughing and having a great time. And you don't think about the fact that your body's hurting because you're just laughing at what you guys are saying.
No, the vibe's
good. Should start one in Australia.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, definitely.
Luke's a legend. Luke Milton, he also played for Australia in rugby.
Yep.
And he's one of those people in LA, when you get there, a lot of Aussies gravitate towards, because he's always up for giving people advice and helping him out and pointing him in the right direction. Yep. And now he's training a Kardashian or something like that.
Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah, wow.
Is it Khloe?
Yeah.
Courtney, one of those two.
So many, I lose count.
Yeah. So, look, when I got the job at the personal training joint, I just thought, fuck the gay bar. It's too stressful, man.
Yeah.
I was stressing out because I'm on commission. You know, I'm like a real estate agent. You know? I'm trying to sell these terrible houses. And I used to get fucked up on Red Bull and instant coffee before I'd go down there.
What?
Just to really get wired up. And it just it takes a toll on your
self-esteem. Dignity?
No, my dignity was all right. I had a lot of people just like out of the blue at the gay bar just come up to me and going like, "What's going on with your dignity, man?" And I just
What? I'm making some money. I'm not having sex with anyone.
Exactly. I'm like, who are you anyway? Introduce yourself first before you say that. But like, you know, I could have made a lot of money. Like my other colleague in the gay waitering business used to get like, you know, I go, "Where the fuck have you been?" Because he disappeared for like an hour.
Yeah, well,
and
hello.
And he goes, "See the guy with the ponytail over there and the grey beard? Go up to him and let him suck you off. That's $400. I said, "What the fuck?" And he's like, "Yeah, man, 400. I said, "That's shit money, man. I don't want that."
So there was a price. So if someone said 1,000, you'd let him give you a blowy.
Nah, there's no price.
No price. That's because not interested. But you know what? The funny thing I found when I went to 11, is it called?
11.
There's another one there near there as well that Madonna used to hang out in as well.
Across the road from 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit classier. There was like...
I think that was the one I went to. I don't think I went to the other one across the road.
But there was a sewage problem there for weeks.
Oh, was there?
It stunk.
Oh, okay.
I think it was sewage. It might have been guys.
It's something blocking up the pipes. Condoms.
Yeah.
Those wipes that you're not supposed to throw down the toilet. The
wipes are good.
Who knows?
You know why they call it 11 Nightclub where I worked?
No.
Because at 11, that was the peak time.
Oh, that's when you're supposed to go and the best chance of picking up. You know, the one thing I noticed that the other place across the road, I can't remember what it's called, but there were so many hot girls there.
Yep.
I think a lot of girls would go to these gay bars because they feel like they get less chance of getting hassled.
Yep.
Is that true? Do you ever meet any girls there that you ended up dating?
Well, any gay bar, whether it's in LA or Sydney or wherever, you can meet girls at gay bars because they feel relaxed.
Okay, this is starting to sound a bit more like a gay cast, and let's talk about some other stuff, because you're a talented actor and comedian. You play comedy clubs all over the world, not just strip clubs. No. But that's a hilarious story, and I wanted to share it with people. Yeah. But you know, you started out on radio in Australia, and then went over to LA to crack the big time. What was it like doing the comedy circuits over there? Because I know a lot of the story that you just told us was in some of your routine.
Yeah,
it went down really well.
Yeah, well, I was lucky that, like, you know, I could just get up. Because, like I said to you, I was trying to keep the gay bar a secret for so long. You know, I didn't tell anyone for, like, 2 months. And then I was talking to my mate, I think it was Ed Cavalier, and he was like, "Mate, you should be telling these stories on the stage."
Yeah.
So then I got out and just started telling stories of what I've been doing each week. And that was basically a funnel for my stand-up material. So then I just started looking for crazy jobs, not just gay bars, but I was doing tickle videos. I was doing, like... anything off Craigslist.
A tickler video.
I did a tickle video.
What's a tickler video?
Two guys tickle me in a hotel room. It's on the internet. You can pay like $30 a month and watch two guys tickle me. You know, you get paid $350 for that. And then...
What do people get out of watching you get tickled?
Tons. Like, it's fetish.
Okay. So it's like a toe fetish. It's a tickle fetish.
Yeah. So
it's
if you
a fetish for everything.
Yeah. Well, there's... So with those videos, you get two for one kind of thing, because you get foot fetish, because that's part of it. And they tickle your feet for a bit, and then they do the under the ribs tickling stuff. It's called jasonstrongtickling.com. I plugged this business. Honestly, he paid me $350 like 4 years ago. I plugged I've made him millions.
I think there's some tickling going on out in the kitchen. Can you tell him to shut the fuck up? Shut up out there. We're trying to do a show.
Yeah, good call. But yeah, man.
Hey, what is he doing? Are they killing someone?
Okay.
Jason Strong tickling. Yeah. Do you still get commission off people watching that video? Or?
No, sadly not. But he still wants me to go back to LA and do one more video. And then he's going to give me a cut of whoever watches the video.
I'll be in LA in a couple of weeks. Would he be interested in tickling a slightly overweight ex-reality TV host?
Yeah. I'm not sure, not joking. He's always looking for people.
Oh, no. Okay, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do just for the story.
It is good.
For the experience.
It is good. I'd go with someone. I'd bring whoever you've got there just as security or something, because you do it in a very dodgy hotel. Hmm. It's kind of in like, you know, like Van Nuys?
Yeah.
Past there.
We used to play the Hollywood Ashes there, the cricket match.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it's in a very sketchy area. So, anyway, man, yeah. So just getting back to your question, like, all the stand-up scenes were cool, man, and it was great because I had all this material that I could just get out and try and see if it worked. And, like, you know, there were still tons of stand-ups, but this was, like, 4 years ago in Hollywood. Now there's way more people
so
wanting to get
more
on stage, wanting to, you know, just even just go to open mic spots. So you've just got to network your ass off.
There's so many more people in LA trying to crack the big time now than there has ever been. And my manager over there put it like this. He said that people will do like a chip commercial in Portland, Oregon, and then they'll move to LA thinking they're going to make it. And there's literally millions of those people auditioning for stuff. And like the people who are doing the casting have to wade through all the crap to find someone like you that might actually be talented.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it because I've got kind of, you know, back then, 4 years ago, I had like almost peroxide blonde hair, still long hair, and I used to walk around in like 3-inch running shorts. And
they were quite short.
They were very short.
You have very long legs.
Thank you. I got very long. You know what someone said to me during the week? They started calling me Lucky Legs.
Lucky Legs.
Said, what do you
Why are they lucky?
He said, well, you got to be careful, mate. If you snap one of them, they're going to go straight up your ass.
So where does that make them lucky?
I don't know, mate.
It's unlucky legs.
I don't know. But I was in one of those, you know, you've been into these like casting rooms. And I walked in and I couldn't believe it. Everyone looked exactly like me. I'd never seen this in Australia. They all had the same hair. They were like
really short shorts and lucky legs. Well,
yeah, they were all surfer. But you know what I mean? They were identical.
Yeah,
you had
like right.
The pretty boy versions, and then you had the rougher versions. And then like, I was like, fuck, man, I've got to do something to stand. So lucky that we've got our Australian accent. Even though whenever I was auditioning, they didn't ask for Australian accent, I would always do Australian accent. Always.
Yeah, because some people, when they go in the auditions in LA, Australians, they'll just talk an American accent when they walk in.
Yeah.
And then when they do the audition after, they might say, oh, thanks, mate, just to spin them out. But I think it's better to be different and walk in and be from Australia to start with.
Definitely. Especially if it's comedy.
How's your American accent?
Good. Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Well, you're on Anger Management with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, but that was Aussie.
Was that Aussie accent?
Aussie. I did a French thing with I was a French guy with Newman from Seinfeld, Wayne Knight, on a show called The X's with Christian Johnson from 30 from Rock from Mars or something.
That's
shit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So like, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, and then just before I left LA, I was you know, everyone's got these stories, but like, you know, I got a new manager who was a soap manager specifically, and he's like, I want you to meet the casting girl from Days of Our Lives. Went in there, she's like, give me your Australian, give me your American. We're looking at you for a doctor. And then I did the American. She really liked my American. She's like, we want you for this role. And I said, fuck, I'm going back to Australia. Like, if you want me, you're going to have to make me an offer. And that offer never came. But, like, my American was strong enough. I think if I hung around, who fucking knows?
Are you going to go back?
No. Not.
So are you going to audition for stuff here and send it over in the hope of getting it?
No.
Have you got your O1 still? Or did you have an O1 or a green card?
I had an O1 for 3 years.
Yeah, same.
You know, acting was always, it's something that I enjoy doing, but I just feel like so many other people can do it. You know, like thousands, millions of people can act. Mm. It's like not many people can get on stage and talk about their life and that kind of thing. So, just got to prioritize on what I'm good at and relative to most people, because the reason why
so
I really...
So back to stripping? Is that where you...
Mate, absolutely. No. Well, you know what? It all came full circle too. Like at the start of this year, I was playing a stripper on Neighbours. So...
Oh, yeah, and that's right.
He wasn't far enough. He wasn't that far from who I am. He was a gay stripper who couldn't strip because he'd hurt his back.
What, you hurt your back and you can't?
Well, my character Rory had hurt his back. So like then he was
That's
like,
not in real life, though.
No, but like then I was like playing Rory, and every scene I'm like hobbling in with my back. And
that's the weirdest role. How'd they come up with that?
It was, I don't know. It was so funny because sometimes too the director would yell cut based purely on my back walking because I wasn't limping to the right side with my back.
Yeah, so you got your limp wrong.
Yeah, continuity was off. So, look, man, everything's all comes together, doesn't it, in the entertainment salad.
If you could do anything you wanted to do, like any role, what would it be?
Like acting or just anything?
Acting. Or anything.
Well, acting would just be like...
want to get a spot on like Third Rock from the Sun or one of those kind of shows or... I don't think that's even on anymore, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, you know, I've done some scenes that are based on my life and I like playing myself. So like something like that, you know. We filmed a funny scene that never saw the light of day. Long story, but it was one of the great scenes because I was staying. Do you remember Mean Girls?
Yeah.
Mean Girls, right? So the guy from Mean Girls, I saw him at the gym at Equinox, right?
Yeah.
I was homeless. And he comes up to me and goes, mate, never met him before. He goes, hey, what's going on? My name's Johnny. I'm like, hey, what's up?
He goes, how does a homeless dude get a membership at Equinox? Because like
I spent all of my money
a week
when I first got there on the membership.
Oh, on getting the membership. It's so expensive.
My plan was to be on the court with these
right,
to
yeah,
network,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was showering there. I was doing everything at Equinox, right? And then this guy is like, yo, you want to stay at my house? I'm going away to shoot a film for 6 weeks, right? And I'm like, fucking beautiful, man. He goes,
that's amazing.
He goes, come over tomorrow and check out the place. I'm like, how good is this? He goes, all you've got to do is feed my dog. I'm like, this is great. And then I realized it was the guy from Mean Girls, the male lead in Mean Girls, right? I go over there. There's no fucking dog. Like, there's no dog. I'm like, where's the dog, man? Anyway, long story short,
no dog. So what
was trying
you to
fuck
do?
Me. He's trying to fuck
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah, trying to... Okay.
But there's a funny...
You still get your free 6 weeks? You didn't have to...
No, that was all bullshit.
Let him stick the fingernail in or anything?
No. That was all
nothing.
Bullshit. He was never leaving. So I've...
He never left!
No, bro.
Scammed.
And then, and he was like... You know, there's a lot more to it. He's jerking off in front of me and stuff.
Oh, no.
No, but like,
you wake up in the morning and like, wait, dude.
You know what? I'm just going to tell
you.
I'm going to tell you really, because this is like the scene I wrote out with Ed, and then we filmed it. And it was like, so it was, you know.
You and Ed Cavalli shot this?
Yeah, we shot it with also Cal Penn, who plays Harold and Kumar. He was in this scene, right? So moving back to what actually happened. And so I went over there. I'm like, hey, man. Where's your dog? He goes, don't worry about my dog. And then he's like, dude, let's have a look at your website. I want to introduce you to my manager. And I'm not thinking, how good is this? Mean Girls' manager.
Great, yeah.
He goes, he opens up his laptop and a porno was playing.
Oh.
And he goes, sorry, man, I was just watching this before you came over. Like, do you like titties? I'm like, fucking oath. I like titties, yeah. Next thing you know, he gets a cord, chucks in the back of the laptop, and now we're watching it on a 70-inch plasma, right? A porno.
Okay, yeah.
And he's like...
That was the teaser.
Yeah, and so it just happened so quick. And then he's like, so, bro, it's the man cave. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, tissues there, moisturizer there. It's the man cave, a place to relax. I'm like thinking, fuck, man. This guy is acting nothing like his character in Mean Girls, right? And then he's got his hands down his pants, and he's like, bro, I'm going to major chubby. And I'm like, dude, like, let's just fucking keep showing me the house. Yeah, where the fuck's his dog? You know, just give me the keys and we'll get out of here. You know, aren't you going to shoot a film?
Oh, no.
And then, like, he's like...
next thing you know, he's knocking one out.
Yeah, well, then he's like, he's wearing tracksuit pants. And he goes, dude, on the count of three, let's get our cocks out. And I was like, no.
On the count of three?
Let's not. Let's fucking not do that.
No, thank you.
And then I just go, look, man, I'm going to go. And then I left and I said, look, let me know about the house. And I saw him back at Equinox like a week like later. And he was just cold.
He ignored you.
Yeah.
See? Didn't put out. No cock out. No manager.
I would have actually, if there was a house, I would have definitely like jerked off in front of him for like a 6 week. No, well, mate, I don't care about that. It's like,
what?
I don't know, bro.
You jerk off in front of a dude just for rent.
No, but that's what's wrong with that?
I don't know.
He's not filming it.
How do you know?
You're right.
I mean, I've worked on TV shows where the camera's hidden. You wouldn't even know where they
You're
are.
Right. Like in Big Brother. Behind
the mirrors?
Mirror, yeah.
Could have been. You never know.
Anyway, so then we filmed that scene and never saw the light of day, but they're the scenes and acting roles I like to film that are based on
real
life. So
you're writing your own stuff and working with Ed. I noticed you're on, you've got your own podcast, but you're on his one the other day. I think it's the team meeting.
Effort, yeah.
Team effort. Is that a regular thing for you? Or?
Yeah. I'm on every episode. So
cool.
Me, Ed, Tony Martin, Lawrence Mooney, and then now Lockie Hume's coming in.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Lawrence is always, you know, doing stand-up and on tour, so Lockie's come in. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty crazy. But
a great bunch of comedic minds.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Lockie's a great actor. He's got some great stories.
Absolutely.
So worth having a listen to. And your podcast is up and running. People can listen to that.
Yeah.
I heard you the other day. You were on the balcony talking about the neighbour that was...
Yeah, well, there was
looking
a,
at you or something.
Well, I live in a place at the moment where you can actually see into everyone's apartment. And, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I could see these gay guys having sex. I mean, we're talking about gay guys a lot in this pod, but I just looked out and I was like, fucking wow, they're really going for it. And
what, they were just, like doing each other in the in the butt or a blowjob?
No, in the ass.
Just bit really?
Yeah. But the lights were on, the blinds were up. It was a performance, and I reckon they knew I was watching.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to look away.
Wow,
you know,
so you see crack open a beer and just like, see how this ends up.
Knock over a slab. I just like I'm sick of watching MasterChef. You know,
The voice.
Yeah, fucking Colin.
You want to watch the ass instead?
I would rather, unless Colin Baris and Preston are going for it on TV, then I'm watching these guys in their apartment. But you know, my podcast, The Ash Witham Show, is pretty crazy. There's a lot going on. I actually don't even know what's going on half the time, but. The next thing is we're doing some magnets or something. We're getting...
Magnets? Well, it's like a promo thing to send out everywhere.
Yeah, it's a promo thing, magnets.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. People stick it on their fridges as a reminder to...
Yeah, it's... No.
Listen to your show.
No, it's car.
Car. On the sides of cars, like massive magnets.
Yeah, but it's expensive though, Mike.
They say the Ash Williams Show.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be putting it on people's cars you don't know or your car or...
No. People who email in and say they want to advertise their car panels, then they get a magnet and they're responsible for... looking after that magnet, making sure it doesn't get stolen. And then we promote the show and we'll see where it goes.
You got any sponsors? I know you had one in Melbourne that disappeared.
Yeah. We got 10 sponsors.
Yeah.
And we got board members.
What happened with House of Hot Dogs?
So look, they're okay. They emailed me yesterday. They're okay. They went out of business.
Melbourne House of Hot Dogs sound like they were a great client for you.
They really were, but they've just gone out of business.
They're blaming you or?
No. He's very convivial in the email. He said, look, man, we've just gone out of business.
So if anyone wants to sponsor your podcast,
AshWilliamsShow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I'm currently in talks with a huge sponsor at the moment who are looking for naming rights, much like Suncorp Stadium or Etihad Stadium.
Wow.
They are looking to buy the naming rights of my balcony where I podcast from.
Okay.
Yes.
So this the Suncorp balcony of the Ash Williams Show.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. Well, our sponsor today...
It's not going to be Suncorp. They have nothing to do with it.
No Suncorp.
They don't like...
No banks?
I'd love to do a deal with a bank.
Yeah. Well, not Commonwealth Bank. They just got a $700 million fine.
Yeah.
And a few people from the ANZ look like going to jail because of being a bank cartel.
You know who you do it with? ING.
ING are amazing. They're free.
Yeah.
How do they make money? They give you a couple of cards. My girlfriend's been reading the book...
Barefoot Investor.
Barefoot Investor.
Well, Barefoot Investor is a board member of the Ash Williams Show.
So you're not shitting me about having board members.
No, man.
You actually really do have board members.
Yeah. So board members are Barefoot Investor, Scott Pape, Ed Cavalier, Ben Fordham from The Today Show, Sonia Kruger,
that's great.
Pete Evans from MKR, even though Pete is still on the fence whether he wants to do it or not, Tony Martin... And a few more that we're looking at getting.
Wow. So what would I have to do to be a board member?
You pay $100.
So it's $100 to be a board member?
Sure is.
Okay, I'll pay $100.
Really?
Yeah. As long as I can be a proper board member.
Yeah.
So what, do we have meetings or do I just have to reply to a couple of emails once a year? Or
No, it's whatever you want to do. It's like you do as much or as little as you feel. If you want to call me up, leave me a voicemail, or if you feel like the direction of the podcast is going in the wrong way, you call me up and say, listen, mate, what are you doing?
And so who's been saying that to you? Who's been the most proactive
on
the board?
Ed Cavalier.
Ed has?
Very demanding, because I'm using Ed's recording equipment, so he's always like, I'll take the recording equipment back off you if you don't commentate on the gay guys having sex. If you don't commentate live.
That's a hard boss.
That's a hard board member.
You
know, he's fair enough. It's his gear.
His gear. I mean, that's the kind of thing that he wants to listen to. Yeah. Then fair enough. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, well, he's like, you know, you've got your... Every podcast, every show has to have a hook. You know, why is your show different to Serial? Or like, you know, Confessions of a Serial Killer or whatever the fuck those shows are. Mm-hmm. You know, if you commentate gay sex, you'll have a monopoly on that area.
That's true. If that's something that I would want to listen to, I don't want to watch it, but I think it'd be funny to hear you commentate.
Yeah. I saw them. I was going to start commentating on the weekend, but they weren't having sex. They were just kind of like admiring each other's naked bodies.
Maybe you could do a deal with them, and you just say, "Hey guys, listen, I'm doing this show. I'm not going to film anything, but I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Do you mind just letting me know when you're about to go for it?
Yeah. Well, I know when they're going for it
because you can hear it.
No, I can see it.
Oh, so you just like you'd be getting your breakfast and just like, oh, there they go again.
No, can we, can't be
better the, start a show. Hit
yeah,
record.
It's got to be at night time, because you can't during the day the windows reflect. So it's at night time. The good thing about winter though, in Australia at the moment, starting about 5 p.m. So early show, you know, dinner nice. And a show.
You could have an audience.
I could.
You have people sitting there in your apartment watching you commentate.
Yeah, but what if they don't do it? You know, I mean, that's a problem. They didn't do it for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't want people coming over.
They don't want to hear you just talking about what happened.
Well, it's like when you go to see the whales off Byron Bay. It's like if the whales don't appear, you feel ripped off.
Yeah, you have to watch it on a video on the boat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want to say, look, this is going to be guaranteed. You know, protein shake in a show. And, you know, tell your friends.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Hey, so you've just left LA, about a year ago?
No, ages
now?
Ago now. Yeah, man. 3 years ago.
3 years. Time flies. So it's been a while.
Time flies.
How do you think all your friends in California are handling it now? Donald Trump's in power.
I don't know, man. Like, obviously, California's...
very left.
Very left, very democratic. I don't know, mate. It's just like... It's always the same... argument, this echo chamber of like whatever.
The echo chamber is exactly right. They are talking about the same stuff over and over again to people who agree with them rather than getting people on their shows with an opinion. Like, you know, the CNNs obviously is a perfect example.
Yeah, but I think I'm not a political expert by any stretch.
Neither am I.
Even though I was on the ABC last week.
Yeah, I know, I saw that. On the ABC talk, it's called the Weekly Wrap-Up.
Yeah,
very. And so they're just hitting you with every little news story that's come out. Yeah, okay. It's like you were finding out what was in
I
the news
no
and just saying your two cents worth.
They said, you want to come on a political show? I said, sure, I don't know anything about politics. They said, great. So I went on.
Perfect.
But like the thing is about, what was I going to say? The LA, I mean, if we look at like, you know, previous presidents and how America's been run, I mean...
Yeah.
What Trump has done over the last 18 months, is it better, worse, or the same? I think it's probably the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's just he's an outspoken asshole. He's like, he might be a good boss, he might be running the country well, but yeah, he's that boss that you had that's a bit of a prick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Obama was the really lovely guy who would just say all the nice things, and he'd do these incredible moving speeches, and... He was so personable and moving and friendly. And then Donald Trump comes along and say, yeah, whatever. You're all fake news.
Yep.
And he's a bit arrogant, a bit rude. But he speaks directly to the people, and especially in the Midwest of America. I mean, they love him. Yep. Why do they love him, do you think?
Well, because people love what they love. Do you know what I mean? Whether you're against Trump or pro-Trump, you are going to support
him no matter what.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like people, it's really hard to change people's opinions.
Yeah.
Like no matter what you do, and that if they are going to change their opinions, it's going to take time, and they're going to have to come to that conclusion themselves. So, you know, that's why he's such a polarizing figure, but he really is the master of just dictating the news feed. Because he has so many controversial things that happen day to day. You just can't keep up. So what each thing usurps the next thing.
Yeah.
And then you'll say, I'm building the wall. And you go, oh my God, did you hear that? He's building a wall. You can't fucking... And then
when's like, the wall happening? No one's seen this wall.
He started to build it.
Is it actually happening?
Yeah, well...
But what about all the high mountain ranges? How's he going to get a wall across there? Or is he just gonna...
I think it's all spin. That wall's not going to happen. No. but it's he's
just to make people feel safe.
Just building
because they love being paranoid in America.
Oney's just building a little bit of it, so it now looks like he's delivering what he said.
He's done something. Did you see when he had an inspection of what the walls would look like? It looked like he was going into an IKEA with all of these different designs of walls. One you could see through.
That's right.
One with big blades on the front of it, so it would cut you if you tried to climb it. It's like he's being shown the showroom of walls.
That's it. I think you went for the one with the blades. I'm not joking.
It really?
I'm serious.
So you cut yourself if you're trying.
I read it yesterday.
Are blades on both sides or just the Mexican side?
I think just the Mexican side.
Yeah, that would make sense. But I mean, you never know. People might want to get into Mexico that wouldn't be allowed. I guess it could go both ways. Probably not so much.
There's not many going from America to Mexico, are there?
No, but they can just go across the border. Exactly. Yeah. Good luck to them. Would you ever run in politics?
Yes,
you'd ever go?
I really would.
Really?
Oh, fucking earth.
Yeah. What would be your electorate? Where would you stand?
On
for
what?
For the seat of Bondi?
I'd either stand for the seat of Bondi or the seat of Kooyong in Victoria, because that's where I'm from, where I was brought up.
What would you change about Australia? Or what would you promise? How would you get people to vote for you?
Very careful with what I say here, Mike. I would encourage more tweeting. I reckon there should be a day. This is what I would introduce into the Australian society. One day where you can say and do whatever you want without repercussion. It's one day of no rules. I mean, you can't murder anyone, obviously, but in terms of like free speech and saying whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Anyone can say anything without repercussions.
Get it out of your system.
Yeah. It's the big purge of bad stuff from your brain.
Get it out.
Get it off your chest, Jay.
Get it out. And if you That's don't good. Want to hear it, don't answer phone calls on the purge day.
Delete your messages
that
people have left.
Don't look at messages. Have a nap.
Delete your emails.
It's a public holiday, obviously.
Yeah.
It's
Australia needs another public holiday.
This will be.
We don't have enough public holidays here.
No. Well, this is one more.
Nice. I'd vote for you.
Yeah,
I like that idea.
But I don't know. I think we're going okay, aren't we, or we're not? It's just always the same stuff.
There's always something to complain about. Someone's having a whinge somewhere. Like some politician's doing the wrong thing. Like Barnaby Joyce boofing his secretary and getting her pregnant when he's all about family values and doing the right thing and not showing any empathy to people who want same-sex marriage. And now he's expecting everyone to show him empathy because he's got it on with his secretary for a while there. He thought it wasn't his baby, but now it's his baby. And then he got $150,000 from Sunday night for doing an interview.
Just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, because people have a short attention span. So, you know what I mean? In 2 or 3 days, we won't be talking about Barnaby. Barnaby's going to have $150,000 in his pocket.
He's out
you
of
know,
here.
You know, just do it. How about you? Would you run for politics?
Well, my stepdad was a federal politician for 30 years. And he had an amazing career. And like, he was the head of aviation, tourism, sport, Department of Administrative Services, saved the government billions of dollars, you know, met leaders of countries. We had the president of Thailand come and stay with us for a while. Surin Pitswan, I think his name was.
Yep.
And got to go on some incredible trips.
Yeah.
But the downside of doing amazing things for your country is that you're constantly berated by the media and the opposition and a lot of the times different factions in your own party.
Yeah.
And that can wear you down.
Yeah.
But as long as you can handle all that crap, it's water off a duck's back. And if you work in the media already and, you know, you're doing stand-up comedy or, you know, you're an actor or a TV host or whatever, you're already copying shit most of your life. So you're the perfect person to step into that role.
Yeah. It's a good.
So I would, I'd do it. I don't think I'd do it for like 10 years or something like that, where I think the older you get, the less you give a fuck about what people say.
Yeah.
You got your values and you know what you think's right and you just want to run with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, mate. Everyone thinks they're right. So it's like, it's just about trying to. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter what you say, really.
But it's like if you're doing an interview and someone's got an opinion, then as a person who's doing the interviewing, you always have to look to the other side of the argument to balance it out. And I think that would make someone a good politician.
Absolutely.
You've got to look at both sides of the equation.
Yeah, but some parties don't look at both sides of the equation because they're so bigoted with their own views.
Is that the whole thing that's wrong with the political system? Because we've got this group that's left, this group that's right, it's Labour, Liberal, Greens.
Yes.
These are our values. This is what we have to stick to. And everyone's in their own little team
rather
than being individual people that are willing to sit down at a table and talk about things because they go, oh, but I've got these people who voted for me that only want this, so I have to stick to my guns and be that way, even though it might be wrong.
Yeah, I just think, you know, everyone's going to have different opinions. So there's going to be people who agree with you, people who don't agree with you, and that's fine. So we should be able to have these discussions without being offended because someone doesn't agree with you on such and such. It's just, it's petulant.
Instead of being so offended, I think people need to start saying, okay, I'm going to ask you why you have that opinion and try and change your opinion with a good constructive argument rather than just yelling at someone and say, you know, calling him racist or a bigot or, you know, throwing out insults. People, even if their opinion's ridiculous, then they need to have a conversation to find some middle ground.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what I said to you earlier on. It takes a lot of time for people to change their views. So
I'm scared to tell friends in America what my views are about Donald Trump and, you know, how he might be getting one or two things right. Or, you know, they just won't hear it. They put their hands over their ears. They're not interested in even talking about it. I mean, don't they want their president, who is their president, to actually kick some goals and do some things right? Or will they just not let him do anything while he's in the job?
I think that they gain a certain certainty by not liking Trump. You know, it's a constant in their day that they can go back to. If all of a sudden they say, you know, within themselves, Trump is doing this right, then it kind of contradicts their ideology on Trump. Do you know what I mean?
I saw a good street interview. It might have been InfoWars or one of those independent journalists going out on the street, and they were asking everyone what they thought of all of these political stances that Donald Trump has, and all these people in California. No, I think that's ridiculous. That's stupid. And then they go, oh, no, that's actually Obama's. Or they did it the other way around. They said, what do you think of this that Obama stands for? And they go, yeah, that's great. And they go, oh, actually, that's Donald Trump. And people would just go the other way just because it's that guy.
It's just because it's Trump. Like, you know, if who's a great Republican leader? Are there any that come to, like, look,
Ronald Reagan Republican?
Let's just say it's not Trump. Let's just say his name's Ricky or something, right? This new guy, Republican guy. Look, he wouldn't be getting the same. He's got the same policies exactly as Trump. He wouldn't be getting the same vitriol from much of the media.
Ricky's a better name to chant as well, isn't it? Ricky. I like that. That would work.
Ricky.
He's a double name. That's his first and last
name. Ricky Ricardo. Ricky Ricardo was the character on Cable Guy. Jim Carrey. But yeah, man, politics is like, you know, you got to know your stuff. I don't know much about politics, so I like it.
It's good to put it out there and have a chat about it.
You got to be careful, though, mate. You just got to be careful because people can take a lot of what you say out of context. And
That never happens on TV. Like The Project, they never take things out of context. They never edit any of the interviews or the people that they speak to.
Yep. Well, they got Pete Evans one the other night, too.
They nailed Pete Evans, did they?
They got him good. Yeah, about his Netflix documentary, The Magic Pill.
Yeah,
they got. I didn't see it, but
they hammered him, did they?
They got him. Yeah.
You got to do, if you go on The Project, if anyone's watching, do the interview live. Don't let them cut up and
I told you
your interview
at,
and
the, cafe.
Make themselves look good.
I told you this at the cafe. Yeah, it's like a lot of the people who, and this is just in TV in general, who don't agree with you. A lot of the interviews will be done pre-recorded so that you can, you know,
make
cut around
look
it
good.
And you know.
I would rather watch a show where the presenter looks bad sometimes, and the person they're interviewing looks good. As a presenter, you don't always have to look like you're right.
Yeah.
Because you never really have the balanced.
Totally. Well, you're not, as a viewer,
interview going,
you're not getting that that unknown anomaly that might come with each episode. You know what you're going to get because each interview is crafted in the same way. Do you know what I mean?
Well, enough about politics. If you've fallen asleep, wake up! I want to talk about Ash Williams and where he's going, what he's doing, what's coming up for you, buddy. AshWilliams.com.au if people want to see all your stuff.
That's the one, man. Get on my Instagram, AshWilliams1. I don't know what's going on, man. I'm doing some gigs in Sydney.
Who's the other Ash Williams?
It's a fictional character from The Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's it? Bruce someone?
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell's character. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I saw that online. I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm so sick. Every morning I wake up and I get Google alerts for Ash Williams. It's always Bruce Campbell. I just want one morning where it's me.
I get ones for Michael Goldman, who's the world Scrabble champion.
Wow.
Yeah. And sometimes I get confused for him. Wow. Like people message me and say, hey, we're having a Scrabble meetup in Bankstown this weekend. Are you interested in coming? Didn't know you're in town. I'm like, I look nothing like this guy, and he's 68.
You should go down.
Should I go down? And just, well, I was invited. No. And get up to speak.
No.
And talk about Scrabble.
This is what you do. You film it, right? You do the full behind the scenes thing. Get one of your buddies to film it, right? You go in. You pretend you're Michael Goldman, the Scrabble champ. You don't tell anyone. You turn up. You play Scrabble to the best of your ability.
I'm hopeless at it. And then words just, with friends, I just and then ridiculously
you, then you,
bad.
You get smashed and yeah. You leave.
And people go,
and you don't say anything.
Everyone
thinks
they beat him.
You don't. You go, I had a bad day. We all have bad days. And then you leave.
And film it all. I'm going to do it.
And don't tell them ever.
Don't tell anyone.
Maybe like a week later after you've uploaded it. Yeah. And go, listen, I played a prank on these guys.
I'm not that Michael Goldman.
Yeah, but then they might retweet it and all the chess people, I mean, Scrabble people might get on board.
But I'll make people feel good about themselves. I think they beat the world Scrabble champion.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, mate, you should do it.
Well, Ash Williams, thank you so much for being on the mic. Been great having you on the
show.
Thank
you, Mikey.
Good chat. Let's do it again soon. And I just want to say how proud I am to be on the board of the Ash Williams Show.
Not yet. You got to pay the $100.
Okay. Where's my wallet?
You going to pay cash? Are you joking?
Jeez, you're quite demanding.
Are you serious? You got $100? You got $100 sitting in your wallet? No, you're going all right, aren't you? I feel bad.
My rent. I have to go and make $100 at a local club in tights and serving shots to people.
Well, mate, make sure you do the nipple sucks.
I'm on the board. You know, well, part of the reason why I want to be on the board as well, because I just want to be mentioned regularly alongside, you know, Sonia Kruger and all the other amazing people that you...
This is actually... So that's smart.
I'm paying for ads on your show.
You know what? You've fucking got me. You've actually got me. You're getting free shout-outs. Yeah, you've got me there.
You have to do it now.
No, of course I do.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. You're in. I can't say no to $100, so...
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Ash Williams. And thank you to the Bondi Public Bar, Andy and the gang. If you're ever in Bondi, come down here and check the place out. It's amazing. Best pub food in Australia. Most incredible cocktails you've ever had in your life. And I highly recommend it. You can even graffiti the walls if you like.
You know what they do here too? I hear they do the two-finger rule.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's that?
With their beers. So it's two-finger froth.
Oh, so you must have two fingers of froth.
Yeah. It's, right. It's a true story.
That's the rule. I like a bit of froth. Not too much froth.
No. But if you love your froth, two fingers, then Bondi Public Bar, get in here.
If you love two fingers of froth, come to the Bondi Public Bar.
If you love your fingers covered in froth, then Bondi Public Bar.
I'm frothing at the thought. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.